Hi, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. As you know, we've switched formats and are now broadcast exclusively on the Progressive Voices Network. So that means you get fewer program interruptions, no corporate commercials, and lots of profanity. But our format change also means some of our radio listeners no longer hear the program. It's been a while since I mentioned our podcasts, so you may have forgotten that there is a way to listen to this program anytime you need a good dose of screaming. Visit MikeMalloy.com and subscribe to our podcast. You have your choice. You can listen to The Ranting with the audio podcast or listen and watch me lose control with a video podcast subscription. As a podcast subscriber, you can download the program to your mobile device and take me with you wherever you go. And if you have a friend who needs a dose of truth-seeking, you can give a gift subscription as well. That's MikeMalloy.com and never miss a minute of the uncensored fun and frivolity.
And now, live from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
Hello. Welcome to the Malloy Podcast for Thursday, the 18th of October, 2018. I was trying to fall asleep last night, and the two images I just simply could not get out of my head were the baboon family that the white male Christian Republican from Idaho had exterminated and then posed with the picture of the four corpses. You know, mom, dad, juvenile, and baby, baboon, with a big-ass grin on his face. Hey, I couldn't get that out of my mind. The other picture in my mind was Khashoggi having his body parts removed by the torture extermination forensic team that was sent to the Turkish or to the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Now, keep in mind the Saudis are very close business partners of Jared Kushner and Donald Trump. And the way Trump has been conducting himself since it's apparent, I think, to everybody on the planet that the Saudis sent a murder squad to kill this man because he had the temerity to say things not flattering about this fucked up Saudi royal family. You know, you talk about inbreeding. You keep in mind, these fuckers marry brothers and sisters and they have babies that way. That's how they maintain the royal line, the Saudi royal line. But anyway, now Trump is, in my opinion, he is an accessory after the fact of first-degree hideous murder. And so is Pompeo. These fuckers understand. They know what happened. I wouldn't be surprised if Trump gave his tacit approval of the murder before it even occurred. The people running the government of the United States right now are so dangerous. So incredibly dangerous, not just to our institutions or our documents, but so incredibly dangerous to us, the people. Got word late today that Trump has sent Ms. Trunchbull, White House Press Secretary, to Saudi Arabia to provide what the White House today called, quote, essential lying advice and assistance, end quote. This is according to Andy Borowitz at The New Yorker. And according to counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, remember her? Quote, The president was not happy with the quality of the lies coming out of the Saudi royal family, and who better to fix that than Sarah Sanders, end quote. Sources close to Huckabee Sanders said that she was, quote, horrified during her first meeting in Riyadh to discover that the crown prince's lying skills were, quote, rudimentary at best, end quote. And Huckabee Sanders reportedly told one of her aides, quote, the absence of a free press in Saudi Arabia means that Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has had virtually zero experience lying to reporters. The learning curve here is going to be steep, end quote. And in perhaps her most withering comment on the quality of the Saudis' lying, Sanders said, quote, these clowns could never have gotten Kavanaugh confirmed. Oh, wait. Oh, my goodness. This is satire? How do you define satire in the age of Trump? You don't. Gregory is sponsoring the show tonight. Thank you, Gregory. He has two things he wants me to share with you. This is for the first hour. Marxism is saturated with the optimism of progress, and that alone makes it irreconcilably opposed to religion, end quote, Leon Trotsky. Marxism is saturated with the optimism of progress, and that alone makes it irreconcilably opposed to religion, end quote. Well, Gregory or Leon Trotsky, or both of you, you get certainly no argument from me. What condition do you think the world would be in if religion disappeared, the concept of religion and religious bullshit belief disappeared overnight or all at once? I think the earth itself, not to mention the people, the earth would be a cleaner place. People would be able to think a little bit more clearly. People would realize that the here and the now is all we have. That's all we have. But the condition in which we leave everything will determine the lives of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so on and so on. And this bullshit, oh, well, I'm going to walk the streets of paradise someday. How can you fuckers really believe that? I mean, Jesus Christ. Anyway. Okay, come on. You're 7 minutes into the podcast. You're going to start that religious shit? Yeah. Bob Corker. More on this. The reason I want to focus a little bit more on this Khashoggi torture, dismemberment, and murder is because I really do believe that the Trump crime organization is deeply involved in it. I don't believe that they wielded any of the scalpels and pliers and saws that were necessary to take 7 minutes to kill Mr. Khashoggi. But they're involved in it. Like I said, they are accessories after the fact. And I would not be the least bit surprised to find out, although we probably never will, that Trump gave his approval prior to the killing because everybody knew this was going to cause an international shitstorm, and it would be apparent from the get-go that Trump and the Crown Prince, this murderous fucker, Salman, are very good buddies, good business partners, and that Jared Kushner also is a close personal friend of the Saudi royal family and uses their money whenever he needs their money. God damn, this is so corrupt. This is so vile. Oh, well. Bob Corker said yesterday that, you know, he's the Republican from Tennessee who's not going to run for re-election and yet has voted for every fucking thing that Trump has put out there, including the confirmation of all these fascist federal judges. So fuck you, Bob Corker. But he said yesterday that the Trump administration is restricting access to information about Khashoggi. And of course, that's while Trump has publicly echoed these denials of murder and torture and death and destruction from the Saudi gangsters. Now, Corker is the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, which means he has a lot of information that members of the committee, his committee, don't have, and certainly not the unwashed masses of us out here, the American public. But Corker told the Washington Post that the Trump gang had, his words, clamped down on sharing intelligence about the slaughter of Jamal Khashoggi. Corker told the Washington Post yesterday, quote, "I can only surmise that probably Intel is not painting a pretty picture as it relates to Saudi Arabia," end quote. See what I mean? Irony is impossible in the age of Trump. You just can't, you can't make a statement like the one Corker made and expect it to come across as anything other than smarmy, snotty commentary. "I can only surmise that probably the intel is not painting a pretty picture as it relates to Saudi Arabia." No, I would think not. And then Corker added that the Trump gangsters canceled an intelligence briefing that was scheduled for Tuesday about this issue, and that Corker was told additional information will not be shared with the Senate. Corker described that information as, his word, disappointing. No, you little twit, fuck you. Disappointing is when you miss your ride to a World Series seventh game, you little shit. This is not disappointing. This is your president and your party and white Christian males just like you being complicit in some of the most awful events of the 21st century, and we're only 18 years into it. Jesus Christ. Whew. The Hill Online got in touch with Corker's office, and the spokesperson for Corker had no comment. Now, the Senate is out of town for their month-long October recess. And in that regard, Senator Bob Corker has remained pretty much out of view, especially where it concerns the drama surrounding Khashoggi's disappearance and dismemberment. But according to The Hill, Corker last week, Thursday or Friday, told reporters that, quote, "everything indicates," those are his words, "that Khashoggi was murdered by the Saudis." Yeah, well, everything indicates that Brett Kavanaugh was a sexual predator. So the fuck what, Corker? You voted to confirm him, right? Let's not get all pious about the Saudis, you little son of a bitch, you. Man. "And everything indicates that the man who's bidding you continue to do until you're out of the Senate, you little shit, is himself a criminal, a liar, who has committed impeachable offenses since the fucking day he took office. So, Corker, go sit in the corner and play with yourself. Nobody really gives a shit what you say because you've demonstrated that your allegiance is to this criminal dumb fuck in the Oval Office. But Corker, you know, wanting to, I don't know, do what? What's he trying to do? He went a step further yesterday. He told the Washington Post that based on earlier intelligence, he was able to review, you know, before the Trump mobsters clamped down. Trump knows what the fuck happened, you know, and so does his little fucked up son-in-law, and so does his little fucked up daughter and his fucked up son. They know what happened. They know what happened. Slimy little sons of bitches. Jesus. But he told the Post, based on intelligence, that he was able to review. Corker said, quote, "Everything points to Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman." Yeah, no shit. Corker added, quote, "This could not have happened without his approval," end quote. What else you got for us today, Corker? Let's see, you're going to tell us next that water really is wet? "This could not have happened without his approval." Oh, brilliant insight, Corker. Jesus. Now that was Corker's useless input, and most of the Christians, if not all of them, agree with Corker's assessment, because Jesus's little stepbrother, Donald Trump, keeps saying, "Well, it could have been rogue elements, you know, killers. It could have been, I'm sick of guilty until proven innocent." So all the Christians are falling in line, the ones in the House and the Senate, behind their beloved Trump. For example, and the white male neo-fascist Christians who now populate the House and the Senate like so many fucking cockroaches, they have to wait for cues, and they wait for cues from people like Mike Pompeo. And Pompeo said this morning that he has advised Trump to give Saudi Arabia, in Pompeo's words, quote, "a few more days," end quote, to complete their investigation into the disappearance of Khashoggi. Pompeo went to a meeting at the White House, and afterwards he told reporters, quote, "There are lots of stories out there about what has happened. We're just going to allow the process to move forward, allow the facts to unfold." Fuck you, Mike Pompeo. The facts to unfold from your criminal administration? Are you shitting me? And there are not a lot of stories out there, Mike Pompeo. There's only one. And you know what the fuck it is, and so does your corrupt, filthy boss. You know what the story is. You know what happened in there. And this little sidebar from the news the other day when you were in Riyadh, that you chose not to hear the tape. Oh, fuck. Are you kidding me? You couldn't wait to hear it. Slimy son of a bitch. Pompeo also said to the reporters this morning that the Trump administration will eventually, quote, "make a determination for ourselves about what happened there based on the facts that are presented to us. And then they will determine what the appropriate response might be." Based on the facts that are presented to us. By whom, you bloated son of a bitch? By whom? Facts aren't facts. You remember what Kellyanne Conway said, or was that? No, truth isn't the truth. That's right. That was Giuliani. Kellyanne Conway said there are alternate facts. You fucking people are so degenerate. You really are. Jesus God. Now, right now, what are the Saudis doing right now? They are frantically trying to find a bullshit story that will hold. And according to the Washington Post, the Trump administration and the Saudi royal family are together searching for a mutually agreeable explanation for the death of Khashoggi. A mutually agreeable explanation. That means one that will avoid implicating Mohammed bin Salman, who is Trump, one of Trump's closest allies and biggest support, a provider of money. Jesus Christ. Yeah, go ahead, Kathy.
Yeah, so say it again. A mutually what?
A mutually agreeable explanation for the death.
So rather than say we're going to search for the facts around this.
Oh, fuck no. Come on.
Actually saying, they're just coming out and saying.
They're just saying
we're going to sit down and come up with a story that's the best story we can concoct. It won't be factual.
But we both agree to it.
But we'll agree to it.
Right.
Wow.
This is where we live. The Post then, who wrote this for the Post? It was Shane. Yeah, Shane Harris then writes, but it will be difficult for the young ruler, that's this little fucker that runs Saudi Arabia, it will be difficult for the young ruler to escape scrutiny as mounting evidence points not only to the Saudi government's knowledge of Khashoggi's fate, but also to a connection by Mohammed bin Salman to his disappearance. U.S. intelligence reports, accounts from Khashoggi's friends, passport records, social media profiles paint a picture of a brutal killing that at least had its roots in Mohammed's desire to silence Khashoggi. The analysts and officials said it was inconceivable that such a brazen operation as the one alleged by Turkish officials, involving a team of 15 agents sent to Istanbul, who then killed and dismembered Khashoggi, could have been pulled off by a group of rogue killers, as Trump speculated this week, moments after a phone call with King Salman. Jesus Christ. Even this insane little fucker Giuliani has said that many senior members of the Trump administration concluded more than a week ago that the Saudis had killed Khashoggi. In an interview, Giuliani, you remember him, he popped up out of his little hole in the dirt and he said, quote, the only question is, was it directed from the crown prince or the king? Or was it a group that was trying to please him? Yeah, those are real important questions there, you little shit. Now, back into your hole. Get in there, goddammit. All right, now stay. Stay! And as the Post reports, before Khashoggi ever set foot in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Mohammed was trying to get his hands on him. In recent months, Mohammed, known by his initials, MBS, MBS ordered an operation to lure Khashoggi back to Saudi Arabia from his home in Virginia. Yeah, Virginia. According to U.S. intelligence intercepts of Saudi officials discussing the plan. Well, but it could have been rogue operation, right, Trump, you filthy son of a bitch? Rogue operation, right, Trump? In September, according to the Post here, a high-ranking Saudi official close to the prince, one Saud al-Qahtani, called Khashoggi and promised him safety and the prospect of an important job working for Mohammed if he would just come home so we can fucking cut you into pieces. Oh, I'm sorry. An important job if you'll just come home. Come on. That's according to Khaled Safouri, an Arab American political activist and friend of Khashoggi's. Safouri said that Khashoggi responded by saying, "Are you kidding? I don't trust them one bit." Oh, come home. Oh, come on home, Mr. Khashoggi. Oh, my goodness. We just want you to come home and oh, I don't know, have dinner with us, or maybe we'll go for a walk. Come on, Jamal. Come on home. We'll even give you a big job working for MBS. Huh? And according to the Post, other friends of Khashoggi's who spoke on the condition of anonymity because they don't want to have their fucking fingers removed one at a time and then their internal organs taken out one at a time while they are still alive. Other friends of Khashoggi's told similar stories of calls from Riyadh on behalf of the Crown Prince. On October 2nd, when Khashoggi walked into the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, and let's remember what he was there for, to try to get a document that would allow him to marry his fiancée, who is a Turk. Anyway, waiting for him inside the Saudi consulate was this hit squad, the security team from Saudi Arabia were waiting for him. And then others flew to Istanbul for the operation, literally operation. And all of them have links to MBS and the Saudi royal court, all of them. Just like the 9 bombers, or was it 11, who came to this country out of the 19 Saudi nationals who came to this country, or out of the 19 people who came to this country to destroy the trade towers in 2001. They had connections to the Saudi royal family too. The 9 Saudis who killed 3,000 people on U.S. soil. And how do we respond? Well, fuck yeah, we attacked Afghanistan. That makes sense, doesn't it? And then Iraq. So 18 years later, the Saudis can be in the process of murdering thousands of innocent Yemeni civilians, including God knows how many children, and the Saudis can then send a hit squad to Turkey to dismember a journalist who is critical of the Saudi regime. But the Saudis are good Muslims. Oh, yes, they guard and protect the holy places of that faith, right? They're just like Christian evangelicals in this country. They are bloody, murderous, fucking monsters. And they all, Christian and Muslim, they all hide behind their perverted religions. Let's take a break, Kathy. We'll come back in a moment and continue. Stay with me.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo briefs Trump Thursday morning on his meetings with Saudi and Turkish leaders over the disappearance and apparent death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Criticism is mounting over the Trump administration's handling of the crisis, with many saying Trump seems more interested in providing cover for the Saudis than in finding out the truth. Turkish officials say they have evidence that Khashoggi was killed in Saudi Arabia's consulate in Istanbul and that many of the 15 Saudi men implicated in the incident have high-level ties to the Saudi government.
Saudi Arabia has been a very important ally of ours in the Middle East. They are an ally. We have other very good allies in the Middle East, but if you look at Saudi Arabia, they're an ally and they're a tremendous purchaser of not only military equipment, but other things. When I went there, they committed to purchase $450 billion worth of things and $110 billion worth of military. Those are the biggest orders in the history of this country, probably the history of the world. I don't think there's ever been any order for $450 billion. And you remember that day in Saudi Arabia where that commitment was made. So they're an important ally, but I want to find out what happened, and we will probably know that by the end of the week. But Mike Pompeo's coming back. We're going to have a long talk.
A man who lived across the river in Virginia. Why not send the FBI in to figure all this out?
Well, he wasn't a citizen of this country, for one thing, and we're going to determine that. And you don't know whether or not we have, do you?
Well,
no, but do you know whether or not we've sent the FBI?
Have you sent the FBI?
I'm not going to tell you.
Well, go ahead. Why don't you tell us,
Mr. President?
Why would I tell you?
Have you asked for this audio, video intelligence at the church?
We have asked for it if it exists. We have asked for it.
Yeah. But you haven't gotten it.
We've asked for it if it exists.
Are you surprised that they haven't turned it over?
No, I'm not sure yet that it exists. Probably does, possibly does. I'll have a full report on that from Mike when he comes back.
Trump keeps talking about the $110 billion worth of military sales to the kingdom. That number is not accurate. Only $14.5 billion in weapon sales have been approved by the Trump administration and Congress. What Trump doesn't mention in his repeated defenses of Riyadh, the many tens of millions of dollars the Saudi royal family and its friends and allies have spent on Trump condominiums and at Trump hotels. Khashoggi's final column for the Washington Post, in which he advocates for freedom of the press in the Middle East, was published Wednesday night.
In the piece, Khashoggi writes, Arab governments have been given free rein to continue silencing the media at an increasing rate. There was a time when journalists believed the internet would liberate information from the censorship and control associated with print media. But these governments, whose very existence relies on the control of information, have aggressively blocked the internet. They have also arrested local reporters and pressured advertisers to harm the revenue of specific publications. The Arab world needs a modern version of the old transnational media so citizens can be informed about global events. More important, we need to provide a platform for Arab voices. We suffer from poverty, mismanagement, and poor education. Through the creation of an independent international forum, isolated from the influence of nationalist governments spreading hate through propaganda, ordinary people in the Arab world would be able to address the structural problems their societies face.
The deficit jumped to $779 billion in fiscal year 2018. That's up 17% from last year and the highest level since 2012. Republicans blame Democrats, saying they're resistant to cutting spending on social programs. Democrats point the finger at the GOP's massive tax cuts. So Trump told his cabinet to cut spending by 5%.
I'm going to ask each of you to come back with a 5% budget cut.
He once called himself the king of debt, but faced with an exploding federal deficit, President Donald Trump on Wednesday urged his cabinet to slash spending at their agencies by 5%.
I think you'll all be able to do it. Get rid of the fat. Get rid of the waste.
Trump's request coming after the Treasury Department this week reported a 2018 budget shortfall of $779 billion, the highest since 2012. The culprits? A big jump in military spending and stagnant inflows of revenue after deep tax cuts were pushed through by Republicans late last year. But with the economy humming along, Trump and fellow Republicans are blaming the budget gap on government spending programs known as entitlements, such as Medicare.
Oh, Canada.
The national experiment is beginning north of the U.S. border as Canada becomes only the second nation in the world to legalize recreational marijuana after Uruguay. But some Americans are concerned that the U.S. is missing out on big money by not following suit.
And Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon agrees, issuing a statement that reads in part, quote, "Now that our neighbor to the north is opening its legal cannabis market, the longer we delay, the longer we miss out on a potentially significant economic opportunity for Oregon and other states across the country."
And that's a bit of What's News for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Our sponsor tonight is Gregory. His quote for this first hour is from Leon Trotsky. The quote is, "Marxism is saturated with the optimism of progress, and that alone makes it irreconcilably opposed to religion." Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So the whole horrific, terrifying, yet not unexpected story of Jamal Khashoggi. Is being corrupted by the bullshit coming from the Trump gangsters and the Saudi royal gangsters. And keep in mind that one claims to be the guardians of a religion, the other one claims the support of a different religion. These are very religious people, these murderers. But that's the thing about religion. You can murder any fucking body you want to murder, especially if you do it in the name of your fucked up God. And if you don't do it in the name of your fucked up God, you can always confess your sins right before you die and you'll go to paradise. Jesus, I don't believe I say this shit. And just a little bit more here, because I do find this slightly fascinating. One alleged member of the murder squad that tortured and dismembered Khashoggi while he was still alive is a freak fuck named Khalid Aida Alutaibi. And this guy made several visits to the United States. See, these fuckers have no problem getting into the United States. I thought there was a travel ban on Muslims. Anyway, this killer made several visits to the U.S. that overlapped or coincided with trips by senior Saudi officials. So who is Khalid Alutaibi? Well, earlier this year, he arrived in the U.S. 3 days before Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, touched down for a nationwide tour, according to passport records maintained by the U.S. government. Alutaibi is identified as a member of the Saudi Royal Guard. Oh, yeah. Alutaibi also is one of 11 Saudis included in the group of 15 men who have ties to the Saudi security services who showed up to dismember, torture, and remove the organs from a living Khashoggi until he died. Bruce Riedel, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, an expert on Saudi Arabia and the royal family, and a guy who served more than 30 years at the CIA, said this, quote, "It's inconceivable that an operation using royal guards, other court officials, and the consulate was not authorized by the crown prince," MLB, whatever the fuck his name is. "That's not how the kingdom functions," this expert goes on, "especially with MBS as heir apparent." Mr. Riedel added, quote, "As much as the White House," that means Trump, "is eager to absolve MBS, the rogue cover-up is unraveling before it's even official." The rogue. It must have been rogue killers. Yeah, they just happened to show up inside the Saudi consulate. They just walked in and said, "Hey, can we use the bathroom?" And the consulate officials, who were very busy praying or whatever the fuck they were doing, said, "Sure, go ahead." And the hit squad then waited for Khashoggi and dismembered him and removed his organs and decapitated him and sent him home in this box and that box and this box and that box. And then said to the council, "Thank you very much. We're through pissing. See you later. Bye. Oh, don't worry about all the red shit on the floor. We'll have somebody come and clean it up tomorrow." Red shit? You know, the blood. We butchered a goat while we were here and had lunch. And by the way, the Crown Prince Mohammed, according to all the profiles on him by various intelligence agencies, he is not the kind of leader that allows members of his murder squad acting outside the chain of command. In other words, if he doesn't order it, it doesn't happen. If he does order it, it fucking better happen. John Alderman, director of the Middle East Program, Center for Strategic International Studies at Washington, said, quote, "He has a reputation as a very hands-on manager." No irony intended. A hands-on manager, even when he's ordering the hands removed from somebody who they want to silence after the screaming stops. And Trump, being the dumb fuck piece of shit that he is, he was his usual defensive self this week about the suggestion that his gang is trying to give the Saudis time and room to come up with a statement that absolves the crown prince. Oh, he had nothing to do with it. Just like Trump. Trump's never had sex with anybody other than whatever woman he was married to at the time. Never. Anything to the contrary is a fucking lie. Right, Donald, you son of a bitch? Huh? Right? Right? Grabbing him by the pussy is just locker room talk, right? Dismembering somebody, that's just tough guy talk, right? Right? Trump told reporters yesterday, "I'm not giving cover at all. They're an ally. We have other good allies in the Middle East. And besides that, today's Wednesday. And I have cufflinks on. You want to see my cufflinks?" I don't believe this shit's happening. I say that at least once a day. I really do. Privately, according to the Washington Post, privately, U.S. officials have said they have no reason to doubt Turkish officials who say they have an audio recording that proves Saudi agents killed and dismembered Khashoggi inside the consulate in Istanbul. And while there is no, not yet anyway, and probably never will be, any clear, irrefutable evidence that Mohammed personally ordered the killing, there's no reason to believe he was unaware of the murder team's presence and planned operation in Istanbul. God damn. Unbelievable, huh? No. It's not unbelievable. It is imminently believable. This is where we live. And then this filthy walking corpse, Pat Robertson, prominent evangelical leader, good Christian, who has the same kind of relationship with Jesus that I have with, oh, I don't know, Hitler. But Pat Robertson is saying, hey, wait a minute, let's not risk $100 billion worth of arms sales. This is a fucking Christian, and you people wonder why I go on my anti-Christian rants every fucking chance I get? Here's how it's reported by Vox.com. A major evangelical leader has spoken in defense of U.S.-Saudi relations after the apparent killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, saying that America has more important things like arms deals to focus on. More important things. Pat Robertson, founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network, appeared on its flagship television show, The 700 Club, on Monday to caution Americans against allowing the United States' relationship with Saudi Arabia to deteriorate over Khashoggi's death. Robertson said, quote, "For those who are screaming blood for the Saudis, look, these people are key allies." He urges viewers to remember that, quote, "We've got an arms deal that everybody wanted a piece of. It'll be a lot of jobs, a lot of money come to our coffers. It's not something you want to blow up willy-nilly." Listen to this fucker. This is a Christian leader, people. This slimy, half-dead old fucker is revered by the Christian evangelicals in this country. Listen to him. And he's talking his key allies, the people we don't want to irritate because of a massive kill deal, arms deal, death, destruction. You wonder why I call Christianity a blood death cult? Jesus fucking Christ, will you pay attention to these people and listen to what they're saying? This guy and the fucking Jeffers down in Texas. And who's the one, the fat one that screams, "Let them go hungry"? Who is that?
Pastor Hagee.
Pastor Hagee. And this dirty, filthy bastard up in North Carolina, Franklin Graham and his fucked up sister. Listen to these people. Come on back, Jesus, as Willie Nelson would say, and bring John Wayne with you, and bring him fucking locked and loaded, too. There's some slime that needs to be cleaned off planet Earth. Oh, my God. The Saudi royal family, by the way, are Wahhabist Muslims. Hardline motherfuckers. They're like Pat Robertson is to Christianity. The Wahhabists are to Islam. Oh, God. And then Robertson went on to praise the way the orange fucko the clown is handling this, because fucko has publicly cast doubt on the allegations against the Saudis. And this filthy son of a bitch president of the United States compared them, the allegations against the Saudis, he compared that to the allegations of sexual assault against Brett Kavanaugh earlier this month. Jesus Christ. And yesterday, after the New York Times reported that it had obtained the audio of Khashoggi being tortured, murdered, and dismembered. The Turkish newspaper Yeni Safak reported that Trump said that he had requested the recording, if it exists. And he added, I'm not sure that it does exist. You know, the lying New York Times, right? The failing, lying New York Times say they have a copy of the tape. Oh, bullshit, right, Donald? And besides, if it does exist and you hear it, it's fake. Somebody made it up. Right, you filthy bastard, you? And right after that was when this great Christian leader, Pat Robertson, dismissed on his network any call for any form of reprisal against the Saudis. He said that would be ill-advised, partly because of Saudi Arabia's hardline stance against Iran. Because to this fucked up Christian, you see, Iran is a bigger threat than Saudi Arabia. Robertson, please, motherfucker, die! Go on to your heaven! Get the fuck off the earth! Oh, you miserable old bastard, you! Oh, my God! And then this filthy pig said this, Robertson, that pig. Robertson said, quote, you've got one journalist, who knows? Was it an interrogation? Was he assassinated? Were there rogue elements? Who did it? You got $100 billion worth of arms sales. We can't alienate our biggest player in the Middle East, end quote. And this is a Christian. This is what Christianity is. It's a murder cult. It's blood and death and lies and deceit. It slaughters Muslims, it slaughters Jews, it slaughters atheists, it slaughters natural healers. It is a murder death organization. One branch of it rapes children. The organizing principle of one branch of it is child rape. Fuck. And ever since this miserable, filthy bastard wound up as president, the Christian Broadcasting Network has become, alongside Fox, a de facto propaganda channel, running programs that, for example, suggest that Trump was chosen by God to become president. Can you fucking believe this? And as his payback, Robertson occasionally gets a sit-down interview with this psycho fucker, Trump. Oh, my God. And then, as Vox reports, earlier this week, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo met with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who may have been responsible for Khashoggi's assassination, for a smiling photo op. Within this context, Robertson's comments make perfect sense. Throughout the Trump administration, the role of the Christian broadcast network has consistently been to legitimize the president's actions to his white evangelical base. During the migrant family separation crisis, for example, longtime Trump advisor and prosperity gospel preacher, you goddamn... Paula White, appeared on the channel to remind viewers that Jesus never broke immigration laws. That was to support the idea that Christians should not feel sympathetic toward refugees who are having their children ripped from them on the grounds that Jesus was one too. According to Paula fucking White and these fucking Christians, he was not a refugee, even though the Bible says he was in Egypt when his mother fled for fear of the Roman king was going to kill little baby Jesus. I fucking hate these people. I cannot tell you how these Christians, these modern Christians, are spiritual terrorists. Jesus Christ. This stuff just, I don't know. I keep telling myself that it's not going to give me a stroke. Here's another little example. A Michigan woman says a pharmacist refused to fill her medication prescription written by a doctor one of those morning after pharmaceuticals because of the pharmacist's religious beliefs. This woman went to a major pharmacy location, and the pharmacist, and they refused to fill it. The woman said, her name's Rachel Peterson, she told the Chicago Tribune, quote, "He said that he was a good Catholic male and that he couldn't in good conscience give me this medication because it's used for abortions and he could not prescribe that." See, right there, you want to stop and scream, "You fucking moron pharmacist, you don't prescribe anything." Her doctor did!
Why be a pharmacist?
But the woman went on, "We are at one of the lowest moments of your life. You don't expect this sort of demeaning treatment." End quote. The medication, misoprostol, is used in combination with another drug to induce labor, but can also be used against stomach ulcers. The ACLU of Michigan wrote to Major this week, warning the grocery store and pharmacy chain that the pharmacist's actions was discriminatory and violated Michigan's public accommodations laws. A Michigan ACLU policy strategist said in a statement that the woman involved here was a victim of sex discrimination. Jesus Christ. The ACLU is asking Major to implement a policy to ensure that, quote, all pharmacy customers receive their medication without undue delay, regardless of the personal beliefs of its pharmacists, end quote. You have to ask for that? You have to have the ACLU more or less threaten a fucking lawsuit to get this goddamn filthy, stinking, fucking Christian to just fill the prescription? A spokeswoman for Major told the Chicago Tribune that the company, quote, "works hard to support all of our pharmacy customers' needs." But she declined to comment on the specific case at hand. The woman eventually called a different Major location 3.5 hours away where a pharmacist filled the prescription. You see what I mean? These poor, tortured fucking Christians. You want a wedding cake and you're a fucking queer? Jesus told me to tell you to get out of my shop. These are Christians. These are believers in the Prince of Peace, the one who said, "Suffer the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." The one who said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." I'll be back in a few minutes.
Come on back, Jesus.
Come on back, Jesus.
Come on back, Jesus. And pick up John Wayne on the way. The world's done got crazy, and it seems to get worse every day. So come on back, Jesus, and pick up John Wayne on the way. Time to take off the glove. They just don't respect peace anymore. But if you have old John Wayne, we know he can swing from the floor. While he kicks their butts, we'll just stand there and watch him and pray. So come on back, Jesus, and pick up John Wayne on the way. Come on back, Jesus.
Come on back, Jesus.
Come on back, Jesus. Pick up John Wayne on the way.
Come on back, Jesus.
Come on back, Jesus. And pick up John Wayne on the way. The world's done got crazy, and it seems to get worse every day.
Our sponsor tonight is Gregory. I mentioned last hour. He had two comments that he wanted. One in the first hour, which we did already, and this is the 10 p.m. quote from Gregory. He writes, quote, "There's no royal road to science, and only those who do not dread the fatiguing climb of its steep paths have a chance of gaining its luminous summits." Whoa, whoa. Let me say it again. There's no royal road to science, and only those who do not dread the fatiguing climb of its steep paths have a chance of gaining its luminous summits. A quotation from Karl Marx. Thank you, Gregory. Thank you for sponsoring the show tonight. There was another shouting match in the Oval Office this afternoon, according to people who were misfortunate enough to be in that shithole. CNN is describing it as a heated argument between John Kelly, the chief of staff, and this pissant John Bolton, who is now Trump's national security advisor. Bolton, of course, is, I don't know, he must have terminal cancer or something because he wants the world to die. He wants everything to die, and he prefers that it be made dead in a nuclear holocaust. Bolton is a sick son of a bitch. But the argument apparently broke out between Kelly and Bolton over a recent surge in border crossings, and it turned into a shouting match. Two people who were there told CNN, and apparently this almost hair-pulling confrontation between these two is evidence of a bitter disagreement that has existed between these two morons for weeks now. According to CNN, Trump, who was incensed about the rising level of migrants and threatened to shut down the southern border on Twitter earlier this morning, took Bolton's side during the argument. Bolton wants a hardline approach to the issue. And this mustached freak criticized Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen during the argument. Nielsen used to serve as Kelly's deputy when he ran the Department of Homeland Security. Apparently, Bolton told Nielsen she needed to start doing her job, which really got Kelly pissed off, former Marine general, right? Now, Trump was at this confrontation, and later this son of a bitch denied even knowing about it. this afternoon before he climbed his large blubbery ass onto Air Force One because he's going to Montana for another one of his massive circle jerks with his base. He said, I've not heard about it. No. Jesus Christ. This isn't the first time that Kirstjen Nielsen's handling of border security has gotten on Trump's nerves. They got into a heated argument during a cabinet meeting back in May over border security. That was reported to CNN by another person who was fucking there. Trump said he didn't think she was doing enough to keep the riffraff out of our glorious country that's now run by this pig. And that started the argument. And Nielsen then drafted a resignation letter. Now, CNN reports that, you know, they're arguing and screaming and using the kind of gutter language that I use is common in Trump's West Wing, according to a source familiar with all this bullshit. The White House, the talking building again, the White House declined to comment on the argument. And the war-loving, murderous war criminal Bolton continued on with his scheduled meetings throughout the afternoon. I'll bet he did. And apparently, according to CNN, who, you know, the fake news source, right? According to witnesses in the room who reported to CNN, the fight between Kelly and Bolton startled several aides throughout the West Wing today. Apparently, they were really screaming. I wish Kelly would just walk up to Bolton and slug him right in his fucking mustachioed face. Just one good, solid Marine Corps punch right in the fucker's mouth. Wouldn't that be fun? These witnesses said that the screaming went well beyond the usual heated bullshit that happens inside the Trump gangster outfit. And after this blow-up today, aides whispered privately that one of the men might leave the White House given the deep disagreement over the border. And the fact that this fucked-up president sided with John Bolton added to Kelly's fury. When they say one of them might leave, it's not going to be Bolton. Bolton knows how to work Trump the way you and I would work a fucking yo-yo. A White House official said later the tempers had cooled and General Kelly was not going to leave after all. Now remember, these are all white male Christians. They are lovers of the baby Jesus. They say Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. And this caravan issue, people streaming north from countries that have become cesspools of violence thanks to U.S. foreign policy in that area for the past century. But the caravan issue apparently has been the subject of these White House scream matches lately. The arguments have centered around not only how to stop these miserable brown people, but how to use the issue in the upcoming midterms. They're already using it here in Georgia. You know what this pig fucking Brian Kemp, our Secretary of State who's running for governor, this Republican Christian white male, he is saying now that Stacey Abrams, the female Democratic candidate for governor, if she's elected, this piece of shit Brian Kemp sent out a mailer that said she was going to turn the entire state of Georgia into a sanctuary state and invite all kinds of illegals to come here and vote, vote, vote. This is what Republicans do. Christian Republicans. They lie every time they open their fucking mouths. They're lying. Jesus, God, aren't you sick of this? The official said that the Nazi Jew, Stephen Miller, has been heavily involved in trying to figure out how to use this issue in the upcoming midterms. How to make more division between Americans. This is a fucking administration that stays in power by dividing people against each other rather than bringing people together. Jesus. Earlier this week, if you remember, El Fucko the Clown took note of a migrant caravan formed in the Honduran city of San Pedro Sula last Saturday and then crossed the border into Guatemala on Monday. The caravan numbers in the thousands, according to organizers. Members of this caravan told CNN en Español that they decided to join the caravan and head to the United States because of insecurity and violence and gangs and lack of jobs in Honduras. A lot of these people are traveling with children. Well, I'll tell you what, Bolton, you war criminal fuckwad, why don't you just set up a platoon of Marines on the border and tell them as soon as you see these people, open fire? That would be the Christian thing to do, right? Your kind of Christian. Trump was tweeting his ass off about the caravan a couple of days ago. He called for an end to all foreign aid to all of Central America if these people continue their march north. Miserable bastard. Tuesday night, El Fucko tweeted this, quote, "We have today informed the countries of Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador that if they allow their citizens or others to journey through their borders and up to the United States with the intention of entering our country illegally, all payments made to them will stop," all caps. Trump keeps calling for cuts to foreign aid to Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Mexico, which altogether got about $250 million in foreign aid for fiscal year 2019. That's Trump. That's this miserable son of a bitch. You people need food. You need money. You need crops. Fuck you. We're not giving you nothing. I am Il Duce. Tell your people to go back to their shithole hobbles. We don't want them. Oh, God. And then the orange asshole today warned that he may have to take military action to stop immigrants from crossing the southern border into the U.S. If Mexico doesn't take action to stop what Trump calls an onslaught, this was reported in The Hill this morning. And then Trump also blamed Democrats for what he calls the, quote, assault on our country. And he railed against those three Central American states, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, saying, quote, they have almost no control over their population. In another tweet, El Fucko said, quote, I'm watching the Democrat Party led assault on our country by Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, whose leaders are doing little to stop this large flow of people, and then all caps, including many criminals, from entering Mexico to U.S. In a follow-up tweet, El Fucko said, quote, in addition to stopping all payments to these countries, which seem to have almost no control over their population, I must, in the strongest of terms, ask Mexico to stop this onslaught. And if unable to do so, I will call up the U.S. military and close our southern border. And then he added this, the assault on our country at our southern border, including the criminal elements and drugs pouring in, is far more important to me as president than trade or the USMCA. That's his new US-Mexico-Canada agreement on trade, right? Hopefully, he added, Mexico will stop this onslaught at their northern border. All Democrats fault for weak laws. It has nothing to do with you, you poisonous asshole, does it? Jesus, God, according to The Hill, this caravan of migrants right now totals more than 4,000 people. Jesus Christ. Oh, Trump told reporters today that he's been discussing the idea of sending troops to the border to do what? He's been discussing it with Defense Secretary James Mattis. Thing to keep in mind is that the U.S. military is not fucking law enforcement.
He's an asshole.
The function of the U.S. military is to engage in war, is to kill people and smash things. And he's going to send the U.S. military. Jesus Christ.
No, I was just going to say, that's just crap talk to his base. You know, nobody who has a brain knows, and a couple of them believes that there's any possibility that he could activate the military for civilian law enforcement purposes. They're not a militia. I mean, it's insane. But, you know, he's an asshole. And I think you could probably sum up almost everything he does as he's an asshole. The child detention policy. He's an asshole. He started our own Boko Haram.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Mitch McConnell, the Christian turtle who leads the Senate, the sour, degenerate-looking old bastard, he says, guess what he says? He says Republicans are going to try again to repeal Obamacare if the midterm elections go well for the Republicans. Huh? Huh? According to Think Progress, calling the GOP's previous attempt to end the Affordable Care Act, quote, one disappointment of this Congress from a Republican point of view, end quote, McConnell told Reuters yesterday that his party will make another run at Barack Obama's signature health care law if Republicans expand their majorities during the midterms coming up in, what, a couple of weeks? Referring to the November midterms, McConnell said, quote, if we had the votes to completely start over, we'd do it. But that depends on what happens in a couple weeks. We're not satisfied with the way Obamacare is working. You're not satisfying, you piece of human shit. You're not even involved in it. You're just somebody who wants to take health insurance away from millions of Americans because you're a Christian. You're a fascist Christian, Mitch. And you want to see people suffer. You want to see them die prematurely because you're a Christian, Mitch. Those remarks from the leader of the Senate comes a day after he threatened to go after funding for Medicare and Social Security during, he said it's due to what he called a very disturbing national debt. You pig! This is what they do. It was McConnell's Senate that passed the tax bill that cost the budget $1.4 trillion a year ago that has benefited corporations and rich people. But this is what they do. This is what these filthy goddamn Republicans do. They give a big tax cut like that, and then when the budget is totally broken, totally busted, we are now, the budget deficit for this year is up around $800 billion. And that's when they come after the social safety. Well, we gotta cut the spending. You dirty bastard, you. I can't understand so many people that support this miserable, fascist, Christian load of assholes. Our people are going to be severely hurt by these cuts. Are you that stupid, you dumbasses? Oh, God. If you remember, it was McCain, Murkowski, and Collins. They were the only members of the Republican Party to vote against that effort in July of 2017 to repeal Obamacare. But here's the thing. Even with all these attempts by Republicans led by El Fucko the Clown in the White House, all these efforts to sabotage Obamacare, enrollment for this year was at 96% of last year's level. Senator Brian Schatz, a Democrat of Hawaii, reacted to McConnell's comments on Twitter by noting that Republicans, quote, really are coming after your health care, end quote. Jesus Christ. Well, we'll see in a couple of weeks, won't we? Huh? And then Marco Rubio, who isn't even running for governor. The guy running for governor is this criminal who belongs in prison for his scams against people who bought into the healthcare company that he ran, Rick Scott. He should be in prison. His company was fined enormous amounts of money. And he escaped. He retired. He bailed out. And then spent tens of millions of dollars to buy the governorship of Florida. Now he's running against Senator Bill Nelson for the Senate. So that leaves the governor's seat open. And Andrew Gillum, the mayor of Tallahassee, is running on the Democratic side. And on the Republican side, oh my God. Oh my God. This guy running on the Republican side is another one, another thug, another liar. Rick DeSantis, just I used to know the nephew of Santo Traficante. Years ago in Florida, I told the story before. And the young guy, I'm not going to say his name, he worked for me. I had a little business in Tampa, a magazine subscription business. And I hired this kid. He was going to dental school in Tampa. I don't know, University of South Florida, Tampa U, I'm not sure which. So long ago. I mean, I'm talking, you want to know how long ago I'm talking? I'm talking 50 years ago. But he worked for me, and one day we were talking about something, and somebody had threatened me about something, and the young man said, well, I'll just tell my Uncle Santo about it. Your Uncle Santo, okay. Doesn't mean shit to me, your Uncle Santo. I figured somebody owned an Italian restaurant someplace in Tampa, right? I said, what's your Uncle Santo going to do? Drown him in a vat of tomato sauce? What? And the young man looked at me and he said, you don't know who my uncle is. I said, how would I know who your uncle is? I don't know who your uncle is. He said, my Uncle Santo Traficante, does that name mean anything to you? And I swear to God, at the time, it didn't. I'm telling you, 50 years ago, Traficante was one of the gangsters, one of the mafia who ran Cuba before Batista was overthrown and moved to Miami. He said, my Uncle Santo Traficante. Okay. So when I got home that night, I was trying to think, how do I find out who this guy is? I lived in this apartment complex. And one of the older men that I knew there had been in Florida all his life. He didn't live in the complex, but he came over a lot to use the swimming pool. He was a builder. And I saw him at the pool after work that evening. And I said, hey, Bill, I want to give you a name. Tell me who this guy is. Is he important? He said, what's your name? I said, Santo Traficante. And he looked at me. Bill looked at me. He said, why are you asking me about that name? I said, well, this kid that works with me, he's not a kid. He's like, I don't know, 22. He's going to dental school. He works for me. He says Santo Traficante is his uncle. I don't know who is this guy? And Bill said, what's this so-called nephew's name? And I gave him the name. And he said, you know what you're dealing with? And Bill said that. I said, no, I don't. And then Bill told me who this guy was. He was head of the mafia family out of New Orleans, Miami, Havana. And this was before the Godfather movies and Goodfellas and all this other stuff, you know. I just knew. To me, the mafia was up east. The mafia was always New York, New Jersey. That was the mafia. Chicago, yeah. But it was all up there somewhere. But New Orleans? Miami? Well, to make a long, boring story short, this guy, DeSantis, who is the Republican nominee for governor. For some reason, I never met Santo Traficante. I never met those people. His nephew worked for me for another 6, 7, 8 months, I don't know, and then left. Maybe he finished. I don't know what he did. But DeSantis, who was, he had something, well, what did DeSantis do? He's from Miami? DeSantis. Anyway, the point I'm trying to get at, Senator Marco Rubio told a crowd Monday in down in Miami that Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum, who's the Democratic nominee for governor, mishandled Hurricane Hermine in 2016, which makes Rubio, the latest Republican, to try to discredit the Democratic governor nominee, Andrew Gillum, by invoking this two-year-old storm. But in this case, Rubio is blowing hot air. It's a bunch of bullshit. Total bunch of bullshit. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you some more about this total bunch of bullshit. All right? All right, stick around.
Illegal immigrants. Let me check your car. Saying no, it's funny. I think we were on the same boat back in 1694. And I said,
once again, our sponsor this hour is Gregory. Thank you, Gregory. And he has a quote from Karl Marx. The quote is, "There is no royal road to science, and only those who do not dread the fatiguing climb of its steep paths have a chance of gaining its luminous summits." I like that. I like that. Thanks, Gregory. Thanks for the sponsorship. So Marco Rubio injecting himself into the Florida governor's race. He was in West Miami, and he was addressing a bunch of supporters of the Republican guy who's running for governor, Ron DeSantis, who like I said a few minutes ago, it just, for some reason, I think he's mafia too. I really do. I mean, I just do, okay? It's a gut feeling. But I do know he's a thug. And Rubio, like all Republican office holders and most Republicans, when it is to their advantage, they will lie. This is what Christians do, too. They lie like motherfuckers. But what Rubio said is this, quote, "When they had a hurricane up there," he's talking about Tallahassee, "they didn't have power for weeks because he stood in the way," talking about Gillum. "He stood in the way of crews being able to come in and restore power because they weren't members of the right union or something," end quote. How wrong is Rubio? How far up his own ass has he got his head this time? Well, first, Mayor Gillum had no authority to order the city's electric utility director to hire work crews, union, non-union, Martians, Floridians, or assholes like Rubio. Gillum didn't have that power, and he didn't try to. And second, Rubio's claim about union workers was torn to shreds 2 years ago, only to see it reemerge among these conservatives on social media after Gillum won the Democratic primary on August 28th. These sons of bitches will lie, not will lie. Let me rephrase it. These sons of bitches do lie about everything they possibly can. And then if they're like Rubio, they go to their fucking churches on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever he goes for confession and wipes the slate clean. Isn't that nice about Catholicism? You can be the worst son of a bitch on earth, but as long as you go confess to the Father, if he's not busy butt-fucking a boy, as long as you go to the Father and confess, you're home free. You can go do it all over again. Jesus, God. And as far as Marco Rubio's claim that Tallahassee lacked power, quote, for weeks, that's bullshit. Records collected by the state Not the mayor's office, the goddamn state doesn't support any of that bullshit of post-hurricane power outages. Barry Moline, former executive director of the Florida Municipal Electric Association, who during the hurricane acted as a middleman between power companies and Tallahassee city-owned utility, said, quote, crews were turned down because they were union? Is that still the claim? How strongly can I say this? That's a lie. That's bogus. That's not true. He went on, I was supplying the line workers from outside of Tallahassee to Tallahassee. Tallahassee would say, the mayor's office would say they need, say, 150, 200 line workers, and I would fill up the line with line workers. There was no consideration, no discussion, no thought about unions. It just wasn't part of the request, end quote. And then kind of icing on this shit cake that Rubio put together, the line workers that worked for the city of Tallahassee weren't unionized during her mine anyway. Jesus Christ. Florida Power and Light's line workers were unionized, according to a company spokesman. So refusing the Florida Power and Line workers would actually be rejecting union workers in a non-union work environment, not the other way around. So when Politico, who put this article together, they called Rubio's office to ask him what the fuck he's talking about. The calls were not returned. The emails were not returned. Nobody popped up out of the sewer and said, well, okay, Marco is full of shit, which is the truth. Oh. Now, this attack from Marco Rubio comes as residents of Tallahassee are coming out of the dark from Hurricane Michael, which you'll remember left parts of the panhandle looking like Tokyo after one of the firebombing raids. Some Republicans, oh, there's a surprise, in the city say the mayor, Gillum, isn't doing enough to restore power. And social media, that part that's controlled by these lying bastards, is just chock-a-block with rumors that the city is lying about the pace of restoring power to 90% of the city. Evan Power, a nice white male Christian fascist who's the chair of the Leon County Republican Party and a longtime Rubio supporter, tweeted, quote, I find it extremely interesting and suspicious after meeting that 90% goal, only 400 more or less people have gotten power all day today. With all those crews, it seems like that should be much faster, or maybe the numbers were not what was claimed. Gillum's campaign dismisses this as the bullshit it is. But there's nothing in this country right now that isn't politicized, even whether or not, when she was 15 years old, a woman was sexually assaulted by a now sitting Supreme Court justice. We can't discuss that without the fucking Republican Christians jumping around like they had ants in their ass screaming, oh, it's unfair! Well, the politics of storm recovery exist also. And it's already playing out in the races for Florida governor and U.S. Senate, even before the hurricane had made landfall. According to Politico, this, in an ad playing in heavy rotation, Governor Rick Scott's Senate campaign boasted of his leadership during hurricanes. And the Republican Party of Florida, on behalf of the thug DeSantis, cut two TV ads accusing Mayor Gillum of refusing to accept help to restore power after her mine 2 years ago. These fuckers never let up. The fact-checking website PolitiFact rated the Republican ad false because it ignored the fact that the position of Tallahassee mayor is institutionally weak and that the decision to accept Florida Power and Light's offer of help was made by the utility director. But the Republican Party, they don't give a fuck. They're Christians. Even though their ad is a lies and full of shit, they stand by the ad and said Gillum didn't show enough leadership. And Rubio's other claim that Tallahassee, quote, didn't have power for weeks, is more bullshit. About 13 hours after Hurricane Hermine touched down, on September 2nd, 2016, 65% of Tallahassee customers were left without power. According to the first state power outage report released after the storm hit, 4 days later, 12% were without power. 6 days after the storm, 2% lacked power. And that report was issued on Twitter because the numbers were so small. Some people went powerless, though, for as many as 10 days. And that's where these lying goddamn Republicans, even though 97% of the city had power restored, they go for this. It just never stops. There's more here, but I'm sick of it. Let's take a break, Kathy. I'll be right back.
Some people might get some pleasure to hype me. I've been enough already on my plate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging to your facts. You see, here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. It's usually the same way you trust. As it lies, what you're down in the promise of trust. Machines and paper, rockets and guns, and the public wants what the public gets. But I don't get what the society wants. I'm going underground, going underground. Work the fast pass, play on the stop to pound. Going underground, going underground. So let the boys all sing, let the boys all shout for going
underground. This is the top of the hour from the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn. Instead of commercials, you've got Progressive news and interviews right here at the top of the hour.
Hello, Progressive Voices TuneIn listeners. I'm Casey Hobbs.
And I'm Shane Mason, and we're the hosts of Nurse Talk Radio.
Here's what we're talking about this week. Bonnie Castillo, RN, and Jean Ross, RN, executive director and co-president, respectively, of National Nurses United, the largest union of registered nurses in the United States, joined forces last month with British Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn at the World Transformed, TWT, a festival in Liverpool, England.
The RN union leaders called for a new era of change and warned against the dangers of privatization of public social services.
The commonality of our struggles is very clear. Ours is to gain health care justice and yours is to keep it, said Castillo. In both our countries, all the institutions that serve the common good are under attack. Jean Ross spoke about nurses' efforts for a public health care system in the U.S., popularly known as Expanded and Improved Medicare for All. Given their commitment to advocate for their patients, said Ross, NNU nurses have led the way for decades in the fight for a just and fair health care system that includes everyone and in making Medicare for All a hot-button issue for the U.S. elected officials.
Tell us about the World Transformed Festival and how and why it came to be.
Well, I think they were emboldened and enlivened, what with Jeremy Corbyn taking leadership of the Labour Party. He was sort of like their Bernie over in the UK. And it spurred new groups there. And thankfully, a lot of young people who have ideas that are near and dear to our hearts here in this country. One of them is called MoMA, and they were founded in. And then NEON, which stands for the New Economy Organizers Network. And they work to connect people and organizations in the movement to build leaders, just as we do here. Truthfully, it is a very apt name, because that is what we're all trying to do, is transform this world and the way in which it works to the betterment of people who work for a living.
And it's so wonderful, Jean, that you went to England, because you're right. We are under the same struggles. We're trying to get the system they have, and they're trying to hang on to the system they have.
Yes, and unfortunately, it's multinational corporations, but so many of them that had started here in our country, and instead of other countries that have these wonderful single-payer systems rubbing off on us, we apparently have a penchant of ruining it for everybody else.
Absolutely. And Donna, I want to ask, the opponents for Medicare for All always say that there's no way we can pay for this. So talk about how we can pay for this and that it is sustainable.
It is a ridiculous argument to make, but it's very powerful because they throw it out all the time. The reality is, last year, according to the Centers for Medicare Services, they talk about the fact that the United States is spending over $3 trillion with a T dollars every year now on health care. So if we go to a Medicare for All program that's funded by an income-based premium paid by employers, now this is what Bernie Sanders really envisions as a part of his bill as a way to pay for it, a 2.2% income premium paid by households. So think about that. 2.2% of income. If you will add up right now, if you or me or anyone adds up what we're paying in premiums, copays, deductibles, and out-of-pocket expenses, and compare that for ourselves to a 2.2% premium that would be paid from our income, oh my gosh, do I save an enormous amount of money. My husband's supplemental coverage, my premium, my out-of-pocket expenses, we spend more than $1,000 a month on our just basic healthcare expenses if nothing goes wrong. I promise you, you'll pay less, you'll get better care. Here's our top healthcare facts leading into open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act and for Medicare. They are different time periods and before the midterm elections. For Medicare, I'll just give the dates first. For Medicare, open enrollment is already underway and runs until December 7th. For the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, that open enrollment doesn't open until November 1st and runs through December 15th, just to confuse all of us. Mm-hmm. So here we go. Number one, you can change your Part D, your drug coverage plans, or adjust your supplemental coverage from now until Pearl Harbor Day. And that is, for those in the younger set, December 7th. So get online. You can go to Medicare.gov. Many, many sites have ways for you to check out Medicare plans. Open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act, as I said, runs from November 1st to December 15th. And even though the Republicans would love to completely dismantle Obamacare before then, it hasn't happened yet. So spread the word. Be a healthcare voter. Number three is be a healthcare voter. When you speak to younger people about voting, tell them why you believe healthcare is a human right.
Check out our show at nursetalksite.com and listen every Saturday and Sunday right here on Progressive Voices.
You've been listening to Top of the Hour on the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn. Commercial-free interviews and exclusive progressive news and information at the top of the hour.
Adam Liptak, Liptak, L-I-P-T-A-K, Adam Liptak has a piece in the New York Times, and he tweeted about it. This is what his tweet said. Unnamed donors, sitting judges, secrecy pledges, loyalty oaths at the Heritage Foundation so-called training academy for law clerks. After questions from the New York Times, the passages below were deleted from the application materials. And the article shows what was taken out. But here's the story. Apparently, the Heritage Foundation, this neo-fascist organization who put Gorsuch and Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court, they're the ones who made the selection. Trump didn't. And the orders went out to the Republicans to confirm these fuckers. Because remember what the goal is of the neo-fascist right in this country, and this is long-term control. Anyway, this so-called training academy put together by the Heritage Foundation is designed to bring in a select group. They are recent law school graduates who had gotten prestigious clerkships with federal judges. The application materials said that so-called generous donors were making a, quote, significant financial investment in each and every attendee, end quote. And in exchange, the future law clerks would be required to promise to keep the program's teaching materials secret and pledge not to use what they learned, quote, for any purpose contrary to the mission or interests of the Heritage Foundation, end quote. Now think about that for a minute. Secrecy pledges from law school graduates who are supposed to be officers of the court to enforce the law, yes, but to seek justice. And these slimy fuckers are taking an oath to keep their training materials that teaches them just the opposite secret. Like the Soviet Union used to be, like Putin's Russia is now, like any dictating or dictatorial government on earth. This is what has happened to our country. You shall never reveal what we're teaching you or our methods, and you shall never do anything contrary to the interests of the Heritage Foundation. Jesus Christ. And then Liptak writes this, the conservative legal movement, like the Heritage Foundation, has made bold moves before, and it has long cultivated law students and young lawyers, partly to ensure a deep bench of potential judicial nominees. The Heritage Foundation, along with the Federalist Society, came up with Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. Those two groups also helped identify many of the scores of Trump's appointees to the lower federal courts. But legal experts said the effort by Heritage to train and influence law clerks raised serious ethical questions and could undermine the duties the clerks have to the justice system and to the judges they will serve. Raises questions? Ethical questions? Serious ethical questions? These fuckers don't have ethics. These These amoral bastards owe their allegiance to nobody except the neo-fascist movement that is taking over the country. Slowly, inexorably, it is happening. And it's fueled by these goddamn Christians who pump these young people full of the idea that their efforts, they're cheating, they're lying, they're stealing. It's all righteous and in the name of Jesus Christ. How fucking obscene is this? Pamela Karlan, law professor at Stanford, said this, quote, "Law clerks are not supposed to be part of a cohort of secretly financed and secretly trained partisans of an organization that describes itself on its own webpage as, quote, the bastion of the American conservative movement. The idea," she went on, "that clerks will be trained to elevate the Heritage Foundation's views or the views of judges handpicked by the foundation perverts the very idea of a clerkship. It also, I would humbly submit, Professor, that it perverts the very idea of justice." But who the fuck cares anymore, right? This very afternoon, a few hours after the New York Times published Adam's article on their website, the Heritage Foundation announced that it was suspending the program. Greg Scott, a spokesman for the Heritage Group, said in a statement, quote, "Heritage is re-evaluating the Federal Clerkship Training Academy. As a result, the program will not go on as scheduled." Before Liptak's article was published today online, Brianna Deutsch, a spokeswoman for the Heritage Foundation, declined to answer questions about the program, which had been scheduled to begin in February. In a brief interview Tuesday morning, she said, quote, "It's a private program, and that's the way we like to keep it. Word did leak out a little bit about it, which is fine, but it's going to remain a private program," end quote. See, you know, black folk in this country have been trying to alert fair-minded whites, and there are a few of us, about how badly the system has been rigged against justice. Black people have been trying to warn us white people about this for decades, over and fucking over and fucking over. And they put their lives on the line, and they were lynched and shot and buried alive and murdered and their homes burned and their children brutalized. But black folk have been trying to warn us. What the fuck is wrong with white people? Why don't we listen to people who have experienced injustice ever since they were brought to this country as slaves? Huh? Why don't we listen? Why don't people ever, white people ever shut the fuck up and listen? And I'm talking about us whites who claim to be seeking a society where justice is one of the cornerstones. We can't shut up, can we? We just keep blab, blab, blabbing, chasing our goddamn tails round and round in a circle. And black people who have dealt with this shit for centuries, keep trying to get our attention, trying to tell us something, trying to let us know that this secretive shit, this unfair so-called justice system, has been in existence and in play since the goddamn country was put together. And who suffered the most? Seriously, who suffered the most? Black men, women, and children. That's who suffered the most. But we just won't shut the fuck up and listen, will we? In conversations I've had with black friends or just associates, that's the major complaint. Why don't you people just shut up and listen? We have things to tell you. But white privilege makes you deaf and blind. What a shame. What a goddamn shame. That's it for me for this session of the Molloy Podcast. I'll see you next time. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Molloy. Hey, Truth Seekers, I have an important update for you about my upcoming memoir, A Hunter Thompson-esque Journey of Experience, Observation, and Political Awakening of Yours Truly. It's about 90% finished and soon headed to the publisher. It's posted in book form on the Kickstarter page for supporters who pre-ordered the book. And you can read it online right now. Just go to the Kickstarter page. Photos, hate mail, and other memorabilia will be added to the print version. And I think you'll love that. Did you miss the pre-order offer? Well, if you did, don't worry. You now have a second chance to order the book online. And since all the original rewards are claimed, I'll sign your copy as a special second chance pre-order thank you. So visit MikeMolloy.com for all the details. Oh, and coming soon, watch for updates on the fall book signing Glamping Weekend with the Molloys in the North Georgia Mountains. Keep checking MikeMolloy.com for more information.